I got a list of names for you whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, Greg Eubank.
Okay.
Jim Goodman.
Okay.
Bruce Richter.
Okay.
Nate Skinner.
Okay.
Scott Stormo.
Okay.
Greg Pak.
Okay.
Travis.
Okay.
Obviously me. David
okay.
Reed. You got David Reed?
Yep.
Scott Nelson.
Okay.
Naomi.
Okay.
And his honor, John Rockwell.
Good morning, Bob.
Dan, somebody stuck in behind me. John Kostolnik.
Who?
Sean Kostolnik.
Sean. Okay. And we had a couple people join on the phone.
Chris
Aaron
White.
Kawara.
Okay, Aaron. Who else, please?
Keith Berrien.
Thank you.
Chris White.
Thank you.
All
anybody
right.
else join
sure,
in on
yeah.
the phone? Okay, I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that it's time to call the meeting to order, and if you could do roll call, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, on the phone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. Jimmy Nelson, Mr. Chris Martin, excuse me, Mr. John Kruna, Mr. Henry Cole, Chief Pete Lenart, Ms. Erin Kalwara, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Mr. Chris White. Was there anyone else on the phone whose name I have not called? Okay, present in Anchorage, I show Mr. Greg Eubank, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. Bruce Richter, Mr. Nate Skinner, Mr. Scott Stormo, Mr. Greg Patz, Mr. Travis Connett, Mr. Del Smith, Mr. David Reed, Mr. Scott Nelson, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Sean Kostolnik. And I believe somebody else joined us on the phone.
Yeah, Rick Williams, U.S. Army, Alaska.
And Mr. Rick Williams on the phone, and that completes the roll call. Did we lose Tudor Road?
Go ahead. I had it on mute so we wouldn't interrupt.
Okay. Thank you very much. I was just asking if there's any introductions of guests and or announcements at this point. Hearing none, I'd like to move on to the review and approval of the January meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody has had a chance to review them. Are there any updates, issues? Questions at this time? Hearing none, I request someone to move to approve. Jim Goodman, thank you very much. And a second, Nate Skinner, I appreciate it. Next item is the review of the issues of this blog. Sherry set those out. I don't believe there are any updates to either the risk view or the issues or the risk law and or action items at this point. So next on the list is the OLO office overview. Yeah.
Okay. I'm very pleased to announce that
Congratulations, Mr. Williams. The USARAC battery plant rectifier issue is the rectifier. they cut over on Monday and without a hitch. So that project is done. Thank you much. Do you want to say anything about it, Rick?
Yeah, we got four more to do. So let's not congratulate yet. There's still plenty of room for failure.
Okay, but we're glad that was done. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the highest risk that we had, which is why it was sent out of sequence with the others. Believe it or not, this is the fastest that we could action it, but from last summer to this winter. But that's pretty fast for the Army.
All right. And it was critical, as we've all discussed before, being the Zone 2 master site. 7.17 upgrade. The upgrade itself, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as I know from Travis and I's position, is complete. I'm always sort of a tail on it, involving money and sign off, et cetera, et cetera. I would defer to Scott Stormo if there's any comment about that I don't know about.
No, you described it correctly. It's just it hasn't had final sign out, final money parts figured out yet.
Okay.
So one thing, Del. Sherry, this is John.
Hey, Del.
One thing, Del.
I'm sorry. I'm yep. sorry to interrupt. Del, this is Rick. We've got one punch list item in the Moto Bridge at J-Bear, range control, as a 7.17 due out. But like I said, it's a punch list item.
Oh, okay.
Also, Rick, you were going to give us an update regarding the WAVE implementation for the motor bridge replacement.
Yeah,
Are you able to do that in time?
Yeah, we're taking a look at the engineering. We were looking at which network we were going to touch so far as doing the playback on it. I still have yet to see the engineering. The CDR is tomorrow morning, and hopefully I'll have some little cartoon documents that will show me what equipment's going where and what its function will be. So we're still in the design phase, I'd say, and the CDR will not include Moto Bridges if it's not super simple and I can't understand it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, the Zone 2 outage.
I can provide an update on that.
I was just going to ask it, Naomi. Thank you.
So the issue that we identified is that the VMS boxes became unresponsive and stopped logging. And then when both of those were rebooted, the Zone controllers came up in standby mode, and it required a second standby or a second reboot to bring them back online, which brought everybody out of site trunking. So right now we've got some defensive code being written to allow the Zone controllers to recover on their own without that second reboot being needed. That'll be released as an MTN and also in all of the future systems, so it won't happen to anybody else's system. So the original issue of the VMS servers locking up is still being investigated with the OEM, and we sent off the VM logs. I believe that's what they're called. Yeah. So we sent off those VM logs to VMware to help with the investigation.
Okay. Any questions for Naomi?
Does this VMS mean virtual machine or something else?
Virtual machine.
Okay.
Okay. That's good to hear. Making some progress. System security scan, RMF, Mr. Reed.
So our RMF package is sitting with the AO's deputy right now. He's reviewing it this week. I'll get an update on that this Friday. So far, it's looking good. And while we were shooting for last month to have it approved, I'm hoping to get it in this month. It really depends on their schedule right now. We've been scanning systems for the last reboot to ensure the Moto patches are being done correctly. We've made a lot of forward progress over the last couple of weeks, and we're down to 13 systems right now that still need a reboot. We did highlight an issue with one of the Fairbanks AST system that did get a reboot, but wasn't reporting that it had. So we're trying to resolve that from our end, but the system looks good for now. Beyond that, I will be calling the centers directly to make sure we get reboots on the rest of these systems this week.
Yeah, this is Dale. If I could just comment on this, one of the reasons that we have such strict security on the system is by benefit of the DoD requirements. So the reason we're doing updates to the virus protection, et cetera, is to protect all of the system, including those. And as I looked at the list that was provided by David a couple days ago, there are several DoD sites that are not being rebooted in a timely manner. Now, I recognize that a couple of them are probably not staffed most of the time, but they still need to get rebooted. So, Rick, to the extent that you and Mr. Martin can do anything regarding getting folks up north there at Wainwright, Greeley, and Eielson to do the reboot, we would be very much appreciative of having them do that.
Justin, you've already
Sure, I can do that.
Sorry, Greg. Can you mention the other sites for shame factor, maybe?
Well, as you said, the only one that your deputy commissioner was worried about did reboot. In fact, when I called yesterday, and they said, well, we did reboot. He rebooted. Travis watched it on the board. He called back from Fairbanks and said, we rebooted. It didn't show. That's what David was talking about. So,
are there any others? Then?
No. There is one. It's an unstaffed site at Delta that is being moved to Fairbanks, so that'll be taken care of next week. That's the forestry.
Right.
And the Elm Mock is a console that's actually is sitting here in the back of the master site, so we took care of that here. So that's, and I called Valdez yesterday, and Lori got everything rebooted, including the one in the back room. So they sort of forget about that one, I think. But and then I have a call into Fairbanks ECC, City of. They've got one, and I think it's the one in the back room again after talking to Christy last week. They've got eight out front and then a couple in the back that do some other things for them in addition to. But we're whittled it down. What I'd like to see, obviously, and David would like to see, is when they send out twice a month the request to reboot, that it happens and we don't have to do follow-up calls, not that we don't have time to do that, but it seems to be a natural kind of thing to do.
Yeah, Dale, this is Rick. You'll send me an email of what needs to be rebooted, then I'll go reboot it. I'm spending a lot of man hours up here at Fort Wainwright over the next 6 months, and I'll be talking to all the dispatch folks, and it's certainly no problem at all to ask for a reboot. I just would look for that information.
Okay, yeah, David Reed will send you an email, copy to me, and get that information for you. Thank you very much. IC zone update. Nate, you got anything you'd like to comment on that?
Just a couple of things. I haven't got a lot of movement since last report, other than the fact that I have informally discussed it with many different agencies as well as starting to get the word out. So everyone's starting to get to understand that and trying to make them understand that when they're starting to change or they need to change, that we will help them do that. And I think that's been well received, so I've been pretty happy about that. We have already made a few templates, so we'll have more to make from the various radios to try to make it easy on people if they would like to do it or work with us on that part. Now, probably the biggest thing we need to do before we really set a date and push forward is come up with how we're going to deal with dispatch and what their they're going to end up doing and the content of operations there. And so I'll be working on that and hopefully to have an update on that next month. So, and that's all I got for today.
So at some point in time, you guys talked about maybe doing some reprogramming classes or something here at Tudor Road, correct?
I think so. I think I also have talked some people into maybe we might even do a road show once it starts getting warmer and we can think of, you know, where that would be most beneficial to go.
Okay. Well, when you come up with any dates or locations for anything like that, just let us know and we'll send out notifications to all the POCs and try to remind them to get their people there.
For sure.
So are you looking at the user agencies to be doing these upgrades ourselves?
Well, in the case of the, you know, the state agencies, that's all going to come out of this building, obviously,
okay.
To work through that. But in the other agencies, then it just depends on their situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next item is DOD infrastructure POCs. During the executive council meeting in January, we had a discussion about making sure we have a POC when things run awry and who to notify on specific things so there's actually somebody that can be in a position to do something and is actually responsible. Tim Woodall said that he was going, my understanding of what he said, it was going to try to pull a group together to work with the state and the OMO. I sent Tim an email last week asking him about that. I've not heard back from him on that particular subject, but that still needs to be done relative to how things have come up with their sites that are not part of what Travis and his folks do that are infrastructure related. With the state, obviously, they have the folks here that deal with theirs on a regular basis, so it's pretty easy to reach out if we have an issue with a site that belongs to the state. Less easy to make sure we got the right person in dealing with a DOD site. So I would look forward to Tim pulling a group together that we can meet with and maybe go forward on that. But as I said, Tim's not here today, and I did not hear from him whether he was coming today or not. The annual inventory confirmation is underway. As of early this morning, we had 28 out of 129 back. Sherry just started sending them out between January 21st and 29th. So that's the form that people sign that say we know where all of our radios are, and we've reported once to the troopers or the police that we can't find or we think it might have been stolen and all of those things. But that just signature on a form that we keep in the file pursuant to the audit conducted by Ledge Audit several years ago. January document reviews, catastrophic natural events, C&E plan, and the new user 300-4 document reviews were completed. The metrics for the month of January, 1,074,507 group calls, 1,947,292 push talks, 122 busies, that's down from 508 in December, which is pretty remarkable. And that's all I have, John, unless there's something somebody wants to ask about.
Any questions for Joe?
Yes, sir.
I have a question for
me. I just thought, before the meeting today, last week, the site at Bailey Hill was being worked on, if you will, and was disconnected from the system, so it was in site trunking. There were some radios from an agency, at least two, if I have, or just
one
radio would not affiliate, would not change, which it should do in roaming to another site if they can't get to, in this case, Bailey Hill. That did not happen. So the concern was, you know, there didn't appear to be anything wrong with the site, and the radio, a brand new radio,
was tested this morning, and our office is back there and had a bad PA right out of the box. So my point in even saying anything about that is when the help desk gets a call, you know, there's a procedure and a policy that says, okay, if you're sure it's not your radio, in this case, it would have not have necessarily known that. But my point in even talking about it is it's not always the system that's the one that's not working. The system, as I've said before, gets regular monitoring of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PMI is on a regular basis. Radios, and some of the agencies do not do that, although it'd be difficult to do with a brand new one out of the box. But assuming, I just want to reiterate that if your radio hasn't been checked on in about a year, you ought to be doing that. And we've got a lot of radios out there that are not. The state purchased those devices that they're putting on the sites, and we sent out two reports that your radio seems to be not working quite right, so please take care of it. I've not gone back and checked on that second list, but my guess would be that there's still some that should be looked at that haven't been looked at. So now I'm done, John.
Dale, thank you.
Just to add to that, remember, if you fix one of those radios, you need to make sure you let us know so we can go in the system and mark that it was fixed. Otherwise, it could very well continue to show up on the report as broken. So,
yeah, my understanding is if you don't turn on the radio and reaffiliate enough times to take it off the list automatically.
Right, and there's only four of those boxes, and we move the boxes around. So you may connect to it, you can move it, and then you get it fixed and not connect to it again. So.
All right. Thank you all. Moving on, the next item on the agenda, system management office. Travis?
Yep. So for the last month, we've been the help desk. Sending out notifications about turning down turning down the airport. On Monday, we turned that down, so that site is offline. We're keeping that off till March 31st, so we're continually monitoring it to see if there's any issues with any of the agencies. But if anybody sees an issue, please reach out to the help desk. We'll be keeping you guys updated on how that goes. The main reason for that was to see if that site was needed, and if it is needed, maybe add some more channels, because that site is only a three-channel site in the middle of Anchorage. So, another follow-up for the on the last meeting, we talked about the DOD microwave ops that needed to be replaced in several of the sites. We had a meeting this morning with the guys up at Eielson. They are upgrading three of those hops to Hill 3265, Full Hill, and Donnelly Dome. They're planning on upgrading those in March, so there's still four hops that we'll be working with the different agencies on trying to get so they get those upgraded before the next system upgrade. And then we do have a quarterly rollover planned for February 18th and 19th of this month. So myself and Dell will be contacting all the agencies and dispatch centers to let them know when we do that. It'll be in the same timing window at 4 to 6 a.m. And we did hear back from Harris on an ATP. They haven't scheduled it yet. They're looking. We'll get back to this hopefully by the end of the week. What they're wanting to do is just, there's one of the tests they don't think they're going to pass, so they want to just pretty much go to out on the base, it's one of our site trunking tests, and do that test. That way they can take it back to their engineering group and then follow back up with another ATP at a later date to see if they can get confirmed on the system.
For which models? 185 and 200? Or?
Yeah, they really didn't say what model it was. They just wanted, they knew they were going to, I would imagine it'd be the new ones. They just wanted to test those. And then Matthew Burrow is adding the 700 site out at Cottonwood. Right now, the tentative schedule is the first week of March. So we'll be working with Motorola and Jason's group on when we install that. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Travis. Any questions for Travis before we move on?
I just want to clarify one thing. I checked with Jason Beach on the site because there was some discussion, is there another infrastructure owner over and above the state of DOD and the municipality of Anchorage? He said, no. AWARN, municipality of Anchorage, owns the license site. The Mat-Su Borough happens to be funding it, but the site belongs to the Muni.
Thanks for the clarification, Dell. I think that stemmed from a conversation Dell and I had regarding approval of additional towers and radios connected to the system. Shouldn't there be a approval process through the user group? And because it's Anchorage just adding, it doesn't fit within any, you know, traditional approval process. But I appreciate and everybody being cognizant of this is what we're doing or this is what they're doing and why. And I think that if Motorola or Wasilla decides to go out and build their own system connected, then we'll probably want to go through some approval process and how it integrates with our current system and if there's any impacts to it. So thanks, Dale, for the update. All right, next agenda item is State of Alaska Department of Defense overviews. Scott, do you want to kick it off?
Just again, we're still continuing to upgrade the microwave and the MPLS system. We're about a third of the way through our 55 microwave hops. We have all but one site has the hardware for the MPLS equipment done. Next week, Nokia is here to upgrade the monitoring and management system that we would use to push software updates to that MPLS equipment. So once that is done, we would start doing the next phase, which is updating the software to that. We'd like to have all this stuff done and behind us by summertime. I'm sure as soon as we do, there'll be another software update to put on right behind the one we just put. So it's a never-ending process, as I've tried to explain it to some people who seem to understand replacing their iPhone every year or every other year, but they don't understand why we have to keep upgrading our stuff. So, other than that, just for the DOD people that are here, I was chatting with Woodall earlier, and a couple of different DOD financial agencies have been asking about the billing for the Motorola contract. There should be something coming out later this week or early next week to the four DOD agencies that contribute to paying for those contracts. So if you were wondering about that, should be soon.
Scott, this is Rick. Do we know what the time, is this going to be a quarterly thing or every 2 months or monthly, or how are we going to do invoicing?
They're trying to do quarterly now just because of the trouble they had with the annual, and Tim wants to get everybody together to try to get some kind of MOU drafted out so we can document how we're going to do this or how we can do this. So it hopefully can survive time and change of personnel. But for the moment, you should be getting, I assume, two quarterly invoices for the first two quarters of the state's fiscal year.
Roger.
Any questions for Scott? Rick, do you want to give a DOD update?
Okay. Yeah, we've got. I can talk the Army sites. We've got Birch Hill. We did the initial power upgrade for the 48 volt DC system. That was the area that was most at risk.
tested out with no alarms. We have additional upgrades that will be done on all Army systems to include surge suppression, new DC if it hasn't already been replaced, battery backups for all our systems across the board. Once this is done, then we should have a full refresh. In addition, we're having a vehicle, handheld, and console refresh across the Army sites. And that will be Mike Charlie by the 25th of June, unless we have another change to our timeline. So we're getting our refreshes out of the way. Luckily, 7.17 is nearly complete with the exception of Moto Bridge. So it's a good year, several million dollars put into Army investment. Can't speak to DOD investment because I don't know. That's have to bring Whittle in on that. But the Army has spent several million dollars trying to get us well, and we still have a lot of work ahead of us.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Any questions for Rick? Not DOD, but Army only.
Rick, it's Scott. Are you replacing all your XTS 5000? Is that part of what I heard you
all
say?
All of them would be, yeah. All of them would be an exaggeration.
Okay.
So the flat answer to your question is no, but we are replacing 5000s with the XTX 6000s. APC, ATX 6000, anyway, whatever the new platform is, for our first responders in range control, which is the preponderance of our users. The units, the military units, some of them still use LMR for the range operation, administrative control. Those will not be refreshed and will pretty much die on the vine. Their use is not something that is underwritten by Army Spectrum, so we expect for that to be phased out over the next few years.
Okay.
All right. Well, Rick, thank you very much. Any questions for Rick again? Seeing none. Next agenda item is just new business. Looking around the table, any new business that anybody would like to bring up at this time?
I was going to mention we're planning a MTUG chapter meeting March the 5th, the day before the dinner run, and that may be an opportunity to get some CPS code book training and a few other possible presentations that might be of interest to folks. There's a wide variety of stuff that they can present on. One of them is it's an incident command and control personnel accountability product. I think they presented here once before, or maybe saw it at somewhere else. But it's a very powerful tool that allows you to set up and regroup radios, monitor radios if something, get a firefighter on the scene and his radio gets off the channel, they can see that. And at the end of an incident, then it also gives them accountability of, okay, is everybody out of, back and safe? There's also an interference locator feature that works only, unfortunately, on the AWARN system, on the 700 meg simulcast system, that we're probably going to try and get that presented for the Muni, because they have radios that are capable of I'm jumping in between subjects. Anyway, there's a lot of potential here. If you have something you want, give me a call, send me an email, and we'll see if we can't get it on the agenda.
Thanks, Greg. Speaking of the MTUG meeting, Speaking of the MTUG meeting, talking to Motorola, they plan to bring a lot of people up for this. They're hoping to have a lot to present. They're
interested in what we'd like to have presented. And so I think this is an opportunity for us to, you know, get more information. So number one, if there's something that Motorola has that you'd like them to bring up and talk about or demo or whatever the term is, please get with Greg. And then number two, I'd like to see how we, can we get the word out that, that this is going to happen. I mean, outside of maybe this meeting, is there another mechanism to communicate that there's the MTUG meeting?
As a matter of fact, I did send an email to Sherry to see if she could send it out to the groups. There may not be the best one because it sends them to the national MTUG, which is going to scare them because they want to set your credit card and sign up, but your first year is free rather than perhaps the invitation I sent to her directly. She could probably mail that.
We send that to the POCs. And I don't know, it's on the daily if somebody would, yeah. Who would not do that? Anyway, the POCs for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we have a list that we send an insider to, but I'm not sure 60 legislators
will. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever list we got, we could send it out, yes.
Even if it's the head person in each of the agencies, sure, and then they can decide.
So anything else regarding the upcoming MTUG meeting?
Just that Motorola is anxious to reach out to DOD and make a relationship. You know, I met the guy at the Motorola Innovation Center a couple of weeks ago when I participated as part of the MTUG executive committee, and they're anxious to, they have no two-way, no contact, basically, with the, I don't know if it's DOD nationwide or if it's just the state of Alaska. It's probably just the state of Alaska.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a federal rep that we deal with probably on a every 30-day basis. I don't know. Naomi, I guess, could be a good point of contact on that.
To be honest with you, I don't know who the federal rep I was talking to in Chicago was. I ended up getting Chris Boyle or what's his name, the plantation guy who oversees a lot of the product outreach.
And Greg, what were the dates again?
March the 5th.
Okay.
Unless there's a desire perhaps to have a presentation for each of the, like one for the state and the Muni. And this one will be out at the MATSU, the Palmer Fire Training Center.
Okay, so
or DOD. If there's an interest, we can plan a little mini meeting perhaps on another day or the same day.
All right. Jim, I'll ask you. Any other new business?
I just wanted to ask, I saw and that there was a supplemental budget released today by the governor. Proposed.
Yes, sir.
So
I'm pretty sure there's not money in it for GTRs, correct?
Correct.
I would have been surprised if it was, because the supplemental, in my experience, has to be an item that they did not know about when they did the original budget. No way we could pass a red face test and say, well, you know about this happening. Mm-hmm. So we still have hope, even though it might not be in the supplemental. It's a pretty big supplemental, $250,000. $250 million.
Yeah.
$250 million.
Yeah. And I think the only ALMR related item that was in the supplemental was for the Alaska State Troopers for
$500,000
for radios, which is not a whole lot of money.
It seems to me that the fire guys eat up a lot of money.
I know. It has a lot of earthquake and fire money in that supplemental. All right. The next meeting schedule is March 4th, which is one day before the MTUG meeting out in the valley, and April 1st. No new business, additional business. I welcome a recommendation to close the meeting.
Greg Pest, thank you.
I move.
Greg Pest. Thank you very much. Second there.
And Greg Newman.
And Greg Newman.
So, Greg, Sherry,
you need a turn.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.